Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Welcome in on a happy little Wednesday. Nice to have you along with us, the firm of Harris and Meringue. I am Patrick Harris. That is Danny Meringue. To my left, Jeff Rust back in the house. The band is back together.
Look at you over there, king of your concert.
What?
You're over here lording over Rust and I.
That's how we're doing it today.
I think your chair is a foot and a half higher than mine.
A new attack.
Stuff out here.
Trying to say, I can't do it.
That's
a little better.
Usually I have to put this the camera down a little bit for you because you sit so low.
Oh.
No, because you sit so low in the chair.
I take it back. I'm not happy you're here.
Happy's here. Thanks, Russ. Missed you.
The band is back together. I'm happy to have us all back together. It's nice to be here. I have some wonderful news to share with you. I am officially going to be attending USC at Oregon this
weekend. Hey, I think the majority of this office will be down there this weekend.
I officially am headed down. A good friend of mine hit me up, was like, we got a place to stay on Friday. We're driving back on Saturday. You don't have to drive.
You heard magic words, you don't have to drive, and you're like, I'm in. Whatever you say,
yep,
I'm in.
They got tickets, a place to stay on Friday, so I'm getting picked up on Friday. We're staying in Junction City. Anybody with some tidbits on Junction City, what to do, what kind of nightlife on a Friday night might be in Junction City? That would be very appreciative.
I have a feeling one Josh Wilcox could help fill you in.
There you go.
Yeah, why is that?
Isn't that where they're from?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're from Junction City.
The Wilcoxes are from...
The Wilcox Eye? Yeah.
The Wilcox Eye?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody? Either of you guys been to Junction City?
Yeah. I can't wait. When I was a kid, my dad had a customer there. I went with him on a trip down there once. Don't remember much.
You got nothing?
I mean, I think maybe once, but not like on purpose. I don't know, passing through.
Yeah,
what have you?
It's usually a lot of passing through,
Heading out to try to find a store or a mall or.
But it's
something.
it's off the freeway, right?
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not terribly familiar with the area down there.
Well, I'm cool. I'm excited. I've never
either
been
way,
to Junction City.
You're not driving.
I'm not driving.
Those are wonderful words to hear.
I told
you want to go. You're not driving. Oh.
And I have extra tickets and a place to stay.
So that has been my experience going to Onsen. I have never driven myself to a Ducks game. I have either been in a bus, which we did a couple years ago, and then another time, 10 years ago. And then every other time I've had buddies who were like, hey, man, I'm going down. Do you want to go? Sure. I'll kick in for gas, buy food, whatever, you know, do all the things.
Yeah.
But I've never driven down there. And I went and talked to Dusty, and I was like, hey, where the hell do I park?
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't spend time in Eugene. I don't know it that well. And so I was like, what time do I need to leave? How long is it going to take me? I know traffic's going to get crazy. Please, if you're going down there, go down early for college game day.
I don't think I'm going to go down that early, though.
Well, I mean, you don't really have a choice in this matter.
No, no.
But I'm saying the majority of you, go down early. Get down there. Be there at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, being a part of game day is really cool. You know, guilty as charged here. The time they came to Pullman, I absolutely loved it. The interesting tidbit is the last time I was at Eugene, Oregon beat the Huskies. Troy Dye got the touchdown in overtime.
Mm.
Kind of a big deal. I don't think they had beaten the Huskies in a little bit. It was kind of in the down times. And Oregon Ducks pulled it off and beat the Huskies, and that was a big turnaround. I wonder if the opposite will happen this time. Am I a good luck charm for the fates of a program turning the corner?
Because
USC hasn't won down there in a long time.
No, no.
So am I USC's good luck charm?
I mean, we really haven't been that good, so.
Am I USC's good luck charm this time around?
Well, I mean.
Or am I Oregon's good luck charm at any time I'm in the building?
And really root for Oregon, because everything that you like seems to crumble.
Oh, really?
I mean,
that's not a very nice thing to say.
Well, I'm just saying, like, how many things have you been like, I think this is my team now. I think this is the thing that I like. This is the team that I want to win. And how many times have they lost just this year alone?
All my sports teams suck.
Just saying. Do me that favor. Do me that solid.
You know, as much as you
hop
know,
on that Oregon bandwagon for me.
Pull the curtain back a little bit. Mm. When I was when the Pac-12 existed, I was very much not a fan of the old University of Oregon fan base. Talked a lot of S. One time we beat them 5 years in a row. Called that a full recruiting cycle with red shirts. So you talked a lot of S. If Marcus Mariota wasn't a Heisman Trophy winner, they'd have lost that year too.
Mm.
But I think he won the Heisman against Wazoo that year.
Pretty good.
But now that we live in a world where Washington State and Oregon do not play the same sport, I think it is fair to say that what we call football and what the Ducks call football are very, very different games. So now, I don't really care as much anymore. The hatred is kind of just dissipated. It's kind of just gone. And now I just watch college football for fun. I don't know if I have it in me to root for either team. I don't think I can do it.
You'll root for the Ducks.
I don't think so.
I think you will.
I'll be with Duck fans.
Mm.
My friends are Duck kids, and they'll be going for it. So, like, if a great play happens and they want to give me a high five, I'm going to give them a high five, but I'm not going to be like, whoa, we got it. Go us.
You will.
I will not.
You will.
I will not.
You will fold.
There's a better chance I fire a gun this weekend than root for the Ducks.
You're
not going to root. I'm going to go and watch the game for funsies.
You're going to go down there and be as rigid as a wet blanket.
Well, I don't know about that. I haven't decided if I'm going to wear Wazoo gear or not.
See, that's how I know. You haven't even decided.
I haven't decided.
Yeah.
I haven't decided.
Which means you're going to be neutral and go Duck.
But I am going down. No, I don't think I'll do that. I'm going to go. I hope everybody has a good time.
Oh, God, I hate you.
I'm going to be that guy. I hope everybody makes nice with each other.
I don't want that.
And everybody meets new lifelong friends. I hope some college kid meets their future wife this weekend. Mm. I hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I will watch it burn.
I want to watch it burn. That's what I want to watch. I want to go down there, enjoy a good time, with really good people I love. And watch USC stomp a mud hole into that Oregon team.
Yeah, I wonder what
Bachelor number one, what's your idea of a perfect weekend? USC absolutely obliterating Oregon in front of everybody and me going, ha 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 on the way out.
I wonder what I'm going to do during the tailgate scene. Probably just wander. I don't know if my buddy's got a tailgate spot.
Oh, yeah.
So
how does one get a tailgate spot? Because it feels like it almost has to be like bequeathed to you.
No, I think you like rent. You like pay for a parking pass.
I know,
that's
but
basically
like,
it.
But I mean, like,
oh, like how you get your spot,
All the time. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It feels like it's something that's like generational.
Yeah, I don't know because when
it's like
I was
season tickets for the Packers,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You don't just take a spot, right? Like you set up in the same spot, you rituals and all the things that kind of come along with that.
You know, John, who lives in Springfield, he parks next to you every single week.
Yeah,
and you only know him from there.
Yeah,
you don't see him any other time.
You know that, hey man, John has some homemade like veal that he brings every game, and it's, you know,
his wife makes a cheese dip that will blow your
mind. You know what I mean? Like, there's Martha. Everybody's got their little things that, you know, Maria over here makes the best cookies you've ever had in your entire life. I don't care if you don't like macadamia nuts or you're allergic to them. Try them because they're the best cookie. It's worth the EpiPen.
It's worth anaphylactic shock.
Yeah, it's like, it's that, like, you know what I mean? All the stuff that comes out of that. Like, how does one get bequeath that spot? Like, does somebody die and you're like, okay, well, John's dead now. We have to figure out who's in his spot.
I'm not really sure, because, like, when I was in school, like, the stadium's on campus in Pullman. And so I lived, you know, a 20-minute walk to the stadium. Mm. So there was no
uphill smoking a cigarette. Like,
in the snow both ways. Actually, you do walk uphill both ways in that town. To get from my house to the stadium, mm-hmm. you will walk up a hill to walk down a hill.
To walk
and
right
on
up.
The way back, you will walk up a hill to walk down a hill. So we just walked and then walked to the parking lot and, like, met people and drank with them in there.
Sure.
So I have no idea how that gets set up.
I've tailgated before, but I've never, like, been a part of tailgate culture.
No, me neither.
Because you don't tailgate NBA games.
You could. That'd be cool.
Well, I mean, yeah, it would be cool, but where?
Tailgate at jam band concerts.
Yeah, see, not my thing.
They definitely tailgate.
But, you know, NFL games, like, I haven't been to an NFL game in a decade.
The only time I ever tailgated at, like, Husky Stadium, I was in a different spot every time.
Yeah.
It was just like, my buddies were like, we're in lot 6B. Come say hi. I don't know how that works.
Well, I mean, if you're the road team, then yeah, it's a little bit different. But, like, I don't know. I guess because I've lived up here or lived around the world so much, like, I haven't had a chance to, like, lock into tailgate culture.
I'd like to, though.
Be fun.
It's the only thing that stinks about my alma mater being 5.5 hours away. Well, it's like, ugh.
Mine's 15.
Oh, fair. Fair.
Oh, eh.
They got a tailgate scene?
Yeah, but, I mean, well, back in the day, it was rough.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, you don't, again, if you've ever been to the Coliseum, you don't go up 2 blocks north of the Coliseum. It used to be don't go north of the Coliseum. We've pushed out 2 blocks. There's a demarcation.
What's this wee stuff?
The demilitarized zone. It's rough, but the gentrification has done wonders around the stadium. So, there's that. Yeah, it's really nice now.
So people tailgate now?
Yeah. It's a lot nicer.
Okay.
So.
All right.
It's not a little bad little deal. And you can't do it like at a Dodger game, because that Chavez Ravine getting in and out of is just a complete and utter hellscape.
I'm going to have to figure out my beverage situation, how I'm going to pack things in and pack things out. Do they have metal detectors at Autzen Stadium? I asked this about research.
I think they do.
Because when
they do. I remember going through them USC when Caleb came to town.
I poured some frozen fireball in my flask, and it was icy cold because it's metal.
There you go.
And I enjoyed that.
You're going to have to go plastic, but also they're a clear bag only stadium, too.
Well, I don't carry bags.
I'm just saying, if you have a bag, they're a clear bag stadium. I want to go see if I can grab some of those, you know, the backpack chairs?
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if I can scoop some of those up.
Why do you need a backpack chair?
Because where we sit is the bleachers. Our seats are, like, they're up close, but they're the bleacher seats.
Oh, you want the little pad cushion to sit on for your little tush?
Well, not just that. Like, keep the butt warm, but also, like, a little back support.
A little back support? Well, I'm going to be standing the whole time cheering my face off.
My back is already a little twingy right now,
so. I'm not going to do that.
Big dummy yesterday decided to ego lift and pull something in his back, so.
That was silly.
Yeah, it was. It was real dumb.
That
was
Zach on the YouTube chat saying no metal detectors.
Booyah.
Oh, well, we definitely had them for the USC game. I remember going through them.
This weekend is coming up Millhouse like no one's business for me. Oakley Duckley, we got a show for you today.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Don't lie to me.
A lot of great stuff to get to. ESPN personalities and gambling situations, not vetting out the proper channels when signing up for marketing. We got that to get to. A quarterback might be on the move in college football, already making that case known. And is it time for one coach to give it up? We'll have web gems as always. We'll touch in on the Blazers and the Big Nooner, some NFL. We'll just dance around the whole place. But we'll spend the first hour talking USC Oregon. We'll have Tyson Alger on at 10:30, as we always do, to kind of put a little bow on Minnesota game, but mostly get into the big matchup this weekend. When we come back, if you are Oregon, what style of play do you want to play? And if you are USC, what style are you looking for? We'll go there first. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll have Tyson Alger on in about 30 minutes, or 10 minutes, excuse me. But it's 10:18 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it, baby. We are live in the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. It's 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Nightlife in the JC, that's cute. What to do in Junction City? Do you like beef jerky and practicing shooting beer cans with your 22?
Yes.
Danny is like, yes, I do, actually.
Go on.
Only if it's the beef jerky that comes in the little chew cans.
You say? You say?
It's full on Starship Troopers. Do you want to know more? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I do. I do want to know more.
No metal detectors at Autzen. Flask and vape can get in, no problem. I live 7 miles outside of JC. They roll up the sidewalks at 9 p.m. Best off going to Eugene for a Friday night.
I mean,
that's like 20 minutes, though, dude.
I will tell you, though.
My buddy's sober, so we might. We might.
There's
some cool bars in Eugene.
I will just say this, though. As it pertains to small town anywhere, small town's going to have a really good night.
Oh, yeah.
You can get into some really, really, really... And I'm not talking like Pullman Small. I'm talking like Junction City.
Yeah, yeah.
When you find a good small town, you can get into some good, all-natural trouble.
My buddy just texted me, and he was like, there's really only, like, really gross dive bars, so you'll probably not want to be there. And it's like, you underestimate my love
of
a
great
dive bar. Look, man, I will drink cans of Rainier and bad whiskey all night if you want me to.
When I was in West Texas,
I got no shame for that.
The number of times we ended up out at a creek or a lake.
Down at the creek.
With a tire swing and, the boombox, the lights turned on, campfire, and just had a grand old time were endless. I also made the very poor decision one time. I will do a lot of things for very little money. You can turn that into a drop. Perfect. What's that rum? Parrot Bay?
Yes.
Super sugary
rum. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Parrot Bay.
I looked at a buddy of mine. I pound that whole fifth. $50 says you can't do it. Watch me.
That's a poor choice, dude.
Oh, dude. I have never felt sicker from drinking alcohol than that. But I tilted that whole thing up. Pounded that whole thing.
Not to mention, coconut rum is gross.
Gross.
Well, I mean,
suntan lotion alcohol. No,
that's basically
thanks.
What it was, and it went down like that. So, but yeah, no, I had so many good times. Again, a lot of beef jerky and or chew, and guns and cans that were out to be found around out there.
The world wants to know if you are going to get drunk and pull your hamstring again.
No, I am driving down there. So that number one, I don't really drink like that. The trip for USC when Caleb was there was because we took the bus because it was an occasion. You had a Heisman quarterback coming in. It's all the juice. All the clients wanted to go down and all that kind of stuff too. And But that was an all-day occasion. We stopped in Tualatin, had breakfast, and I had
Bushwhackers?
No, not Bushwhackers, but right around.
Isn't that the country bar down there?
Oh, yeah. The Bush, man. Come on now. It's a good time. But there's a restaurant right around the corner. It changed into something. I can't remember what it was, but I had like a pitcher of mimosas, maybe more. It was a lot. And then a nice hearty breakfast. And then, I don't know, 7 or 8 seltzers, because I'd had them before, but I never had like a bunch of them. Those things just go down like water.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. And then I probably had 7 or 8 mixed drinks at the bar that we were at before I walked down there. And that was, I think, the farthest I had walked continually or been on my feet like during the day post-hip surgery. And my hamstrings just quite literally weren't used to it, especially standing up the game. And I just ended up pulling it very, very, very badly and to where the point where it was black and blue.
And you didn't come to work for a week.
It wasn't a week. It was like 2 days.
I was told it was a week.
It was like 2 days.
I was told a week.
I couldn't drive. It was my right leg.
Plus 250 on you getting drunk enough to walk into a door?
I could do that stone cold sober. what are we talking about here?
Seen it.
Yeah.
Seen it.
Hopefully USC fills that A gap like that.
Going to be a very interesting game. You know, we'll continue to talk about this as kick is at 12:30. You can catch all the action right here on the Fan Sports Network. Like we always do, pregame will start at 10 with Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Dusty Hera down there live in Eugene. Whoa. Poke by and check out the morning show.
Whoa. 12:30 kick. Our pregame starts at 8 o'clock.
Oh, right. You're right. Mm. Our pregame starts at 8. Thank you for that correction.
And then we will hand it over to network coverage at 10:30.
Thank you for that. I'm going to try to go down and say hello to those guys in the pregame show because I like what they do. I think that pregame show is very, very good.
I will go by and torment them in head-to-toe Cardinal and Gold.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. But when I'm thinking about this game, walking into it, look, USC and Oregon play very different types of football right mm-hmm. now. And I think that makes for real fun. We kind of chatted the other day about you've got one of the top offenses in the country facing one of the top defenses in the country. You know, I kind of spun it on its head, and I'm a little more interested in the Oregon offense versus the
USC defense.
Mm-hmm. But it kind of got me to thinking, like, if you're Oregon, what style of play do you want? You want to stick to the run game, correct?
Yes.
You want to slow this game down.
You don't want to
play a little Iowa Big Ten football and slow it down.
Take
control.
The Notre Dame game plan. That's what mm-hmm. you want to do.
Because I think the thing you really don't want to get into, and I'm excited to ask Tyson Alger about this, I think one of the things that is scary to get into is I don't think you want to get into a shootout. Now, for me as a casual, non-affiliated observer of this game, I'd be very interested in a shootout, and not because of high scoring and it makes it on the line, but I'd like to see Dante Moore in a shootout, if I'm being honest with you. I know Jaden Maiava can do it.
Yes.
I know he can do that, and he's got the weapons to do it. I'd be interested just for, like, film study, case study, to see how Dante reacts if, in fact, it does turn into a shootout. I don't think it will.
No.
Personally.
The line is 55. I think the score that I called for a USC win would probably be like 30-23. That's where I think it goes. But if it does get above 55, that's because both Maiava and Dante Moore are out there cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, Oregon's probably going to win this game. I have no illusions about that. But I don't think that you're just going to stop USC's offense. I don't think that's happening anyway.
I don't think so either. That leads me, like, if USC would prefer a shootout, and Oregon would prefer a slowed down run game, which team is more equipped to do the other?
I think they both are.
Yeah.
That's the reality. It's, I think they
it's
both.
It's kind of like flipping that, you know,
yeah.
High octane offense, high octane defense. Well, let me see the other side.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. Like, can USC slow the game down and run the football the mm-hmm. entire time? I think they can. I don't think they want to.
No, I don't think they want
to. But I think they can. Can Oregon turn the up tempo on and start slanging the rock?
Mm-hmm.
I think so,
mm-hmm.
but honestly, have we really seen it? Because even in their blowout wins, that's just efficient offense.
Yeah.
That's not high tempo.
Their explosives are coming from...
Despite the national narrative thinking that yeah. they're explosive still.
Well, they are.
Not explosive, but like high-octane
yes.
Chip Kelly style. They're not that.
They're
anymore.
Not that. Their explosives come from really good run blocking. That's where their big plays come from. They lead the nation in explosive run plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's where they make their money. They spring those massive runs. I think they had, what was it, something like 56 now explosive runs? I think they're, is it where they're at? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I think that's where they ended up coming into this game. But I mean, they get like, you know, five a game.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you got three different guys that can do it.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, then if all it takes is one Kenyon Sadiq play to over the top, or one Gary Bryant Jr. or Malik Benson, like, you know, one of those guys, and all of a sudden now you're on your heels and you're guessing. I'm going to ask Tyson about this, but I want to kind of primer you with this one.
Shoot.
USC and Oregon only have two common opponents, Northwestern and Iowa.
Okay.
Oregon beat Northwestern 34-14.
Correct.
They beat Iowa 18-16.
And that 14 is kind of in the back end for okay. Northwestern.
But, okay, USC beat Northwestern. Where'd it go? 38-17. And Iowa 26-21.
Very similar.
Very, very, very similar scores. Different games.
Yeah, my pushback would be, before, I don't mean to cut you off, my pushback would be Northwestern was kind of in that game for a little bit.
They had a
against USC.
Well, they were in it in the first half, and then they were non-existent.
And then they were non-existent. But they were pretty non-existent for 3.5 quarters against Oregon.
Yes, but with Northwestern, it was their scores. The early score was a broken run, that hell of a play by Kumalafe. He broke a massive cutback run and just took it to the house. It was like, oh, where'd that come from? Other than that, Northwestern didn't really do anything in that game.
So you're trying to make the you're making the case that these teams
in their common opponents,
yeah,
been different games. Oregon has limited them, their opponents, more defensively. USC has scored a little bit more while giving up a little bit more. And that's why, like, I just kind of look at that, because we don't really have any many strings to pull on as far as, like,
sure,
comparisons. And so I look at that and I go, is this game maybe closer than we think it is? Because, again, I was talking to a bunch of Duck fans that covered the Blazers last night, and every single one of them said 9.5 is a stupid line. It should not be 9.5.
It is really tough.
9.5 just feels like too much.
I know I'm not a gambler, so I know I wouldn't touch any spread. But this is a game, for a gambling purpose, I wouldn't touch it. I have no idea where to go. Because
it got bet up 10.5. It's back down to 9.5.
I foresee this being a close game and USC wins, or a Duck blowout.
Okay.
Like, I don't see USC blowing out
Oregon. I don't either.
I think Oregon can win a close, yeah, close, tight game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see USC blowing them out. That would shock me.
The over-under line is still 55.5. So, that hasn't moved.
55.5. Mm-hmm. That's not very high.
As I said, 30-23, that's 53 points right, yeah, there.
Well, so 30-23 could be possible.
Yeah, that's...
that's seven, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I think this way. You want to say 31-24? Okay. Like, I think that's kind of what you're dealing with. But if USC is held to 24 points, that will be... You just tip your cap to Oregon at that point.
Coming in on the text line, something that is worth saying is that Oregon was on the road for both of those games, and mm-hmm, SC was at home.
Yeah.
So that could be, if you're looking for a tiebreaker, so sure, to say, I'd probably lean the Ducks on that.
Oh, yeah. No, I just thought it was interesting that both those,
sure,
those scores were relatively close.
When you're looking at common opponents, yeah, yeah. Especially in the Big Ten, where everybody's new to the situation. We don't, mm-hmm, quite know how it goes. All right, let's get to Tyson Alger. He'll come on next. He joins us every Wednesday at 10:30. We'll put a small little bow on the Minnesota game from Friday, but then really spend some time looking at this USC game. We'll get his thoughts next. But first, we'll toss to Rusty with sports.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, leading up to the game this weekend as Oregon will take on USC, we are joined
by our friend Tyson Alger, as we always are on Wednesdays at 10:30. Tyson, good morning to you. How was your extended weekend? You didn't have to cover a game on Saturday.
Yeah, you know, I spent my Saturday doing something completely different. I went to Providence Park and watched a football game. My Montana Grizzlies were in town, and it was fun to watch football in the city. It was nice to have to not go out to Hillsboro to watch the Vikings play as well.
Now, is there a tailgate scene outside of Providence Park? Because we as Timbers fans know there really isn't, but there's tons of bars everywhere. Can you create a college football tailgating scene outside Providence?
It's a little tough. I think the bars got a fair amount of business, but they kind of had like a makeshift tailgate thing set up within the stadium. So, it was fun. You know, it wasn't packed. I think there was maybe like 6,500, 7,000 or so people there. There was a lot of Montana fans. Grizz have a big game coming up this week. If you guys want to dive into that, but
should have been game day. Should have been game day, dude.
Should have been game day. Should have been. It's too cold for them out there.
Yeah, McAfee don't like his shirt off when it's that cold.
I was just going to say, I'm hoping they keep their shirts on this Saturday this time. So.
let's put a little bit of bow on the Minnesota game from Friday. Ducks win 42-13. Not a whole lot to take from it, I guess, but I'm still curious any of your thoughts on it. It was nice to see Kenyon Sadiq come back healthy and have a monster game, and how important he can be to that offense. Maybe I'll ask you, without DeCorian Moore and Gary Bryant Jr., like, what did you see from that wide receiver core on Minnesota? Is it a way of like, we played Minnesota and got away with it, or hey, this depth is really coming in handy?
I think you're seeing the depth is coming in pretty handy. I mean, you know, one of those guys is relatively experienced in Malik Benson, and you know, his past career at Florida State and Alabama before that. But, you know, that toe tapping touchdown that Jeremiah McClellan had, you're not doing that if you're not talented. I mean, it was a great throw from Dante, but just some of the kind of the talent that you see there and the depth. I mean, this is a team that's been recruiting really well at the position for the last 3 or 4 years under Dan Lanning. But I think we've gotten so enamored with the transfer portal that you kind of forget about kind of the 4-star guys that are on the roster. And I know the Ducks are pretty depleted at the position with some of those injuries, but it was just nice to see some of those guys have the opportunity to step up. And then what a difference it makes when you have a healthy Kenyon Sadiq in the lineup too. I know Dante was kind of saying he overthrew that one a little bit. He said the visor was affecting his depth perception. You know, a 27, a 30 day, I guess it was really, really hurting him, but it was just funny to see Sadiq make that diving catch, because that's kind of what hurt him a few weeks back, was just kind of coming down hard on his hip from one of those. And so to see Kenyon make that catch and then afterwards say, like, that's the best I've felt in a very long time. That's a really good sign for the Ducks.
Tyson, all right. Harris and I were talking about this before we had you on. As kind of a preview for USC Oregon. USC and Oregon only have two common opponents, Northwestern and Iowa. They were played very differently, but the outcomes ended up being nearly identical. One score game between USC and Iowa down in LA, handling Northwestern. I mean, both scores are relatively similar, with USC scoring a little bit more but giving up a little bit more. Oregon not scoring quite as much but holding those teams down a little bit more. When you look at those, because there's so few strings to kind of pull on and look at the comparisons between these two teams, because they don't have those common opponents because of the way the scheduling is. When you look at those games, is there anything that you take from them and those common opponents and go, this is a little bit interesting, or does it not matter at all?
Well, what I remember about that USC-Northwestern game is that was quite the game until basically that pick six was called back in the second quarter, and that kind of swung all the momentum going into halftime. I might have the exact timing of that wrong, but I was sitting at my hotel bar in Iowa the night before the Hawkeyes Ducks game and watching that, and you know, Twitter for that hot minute was like, oh, the Trojans are in trouble here. And so ultimately they played a pretty strong second half, and that ended up being a pretty convincing win. But I just think that what Oregon does with its defensive consistency just throughout the season, maybe save the Indiana game or so, has just been so impressive. And I think that's just been a little bit more consistent than what you've seen throughout the year with USC. I think USC is kind of very boom or bust, especially with its offense. I mean, like, they can put up a ton of points, but they can also give up a lot of yards too. So they've both beat some decent teams, but like this is kind of their Super Bowl of the seasons. And so like, this is, I was talking to a couple people yesterday, and it's, I can't remember the last time being 10 games into a season and still like wondering like how good this Oregon team is, because it's just kind of one of those years where they pass some tests and then you just find out later that test wasn't all that hard. So it's an odd one.
He's Tyson Alger, joins us every single Wednesday. The I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield is where you can find his stuff at. Something that I noticed that during the Minnesota game that wasn't really talked a whole lot about on the broadcast, but I'm curious how it looks future-wise and if it was for a reason. You saw some offensive lines swapping around, that maybe if they felt a little weaker on the right side, move some guys around and sacrifice maybe on a left, but have a more solid front five right there. Is that something that you think was more curated for the Minnesota game, or is that looking ahead to USC, who does have some nice guys on their defensive line?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, they're trying to be a little bit more flexible on the line, and they've also been dealing with some injuries too. You know, Harkey missed the Iowa game. He came back for this one, but then it was Janoris Wilson who played so well instead of Harkey in Iowa. And then he missed this one too. So I think it's, you know, a little bit of showing some different looks, a little bit of just kind of getting guys snaps at different positions too. Just as you get into this late in the year and guys are banged up, you're going to need people to be able to play multiple. And so I think the Ducks are just showing their depth there, but it was really impressive just the way, not only that they kept Dante upright in that game, but just week in and week out, they're so good in their run blocking too. Like, I know the Ducks only had 197 yards in this game, which was yet another game where the Ducks bested their opponent in rushing yards. But it's just some of the timely yards that they get, and then just the way that these Oregon running backs rush too. We've talked about Jordan Davidson so much this year, but I'm still watching replays of that Noah Whittington run and wondering how he got out of those seven tackles there.
He's Tyson Alger. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll chat a little more about USC. I'm going to ask you the department that the Ducks need the most focus on if they're going to win this game. And are you more interested in the offense versus defense of one team or the offense versus defense of the other team? Tyson Alger joins us. One more segment here. We'll take a break. 105.1 The Fan. My mother's always stressing. Now we are joined by Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield, as we always are on Wednesdays, and we appreciate you hanging around for a double seggy, Tyson. We always do. Real quick, coming into the USC game, I know Dan holds it to the vest real close. Do we have any idea about Gary Bryant Jr. or DeCorian Moore?
I think we will find out on Saturday.
That's just how this is going to go. Look, Belichick ruined it for all of us, didn't he? Is that where we point this all back to?
Well, I why would I talk about an injury? We got a game to that's a really bad Belichick impression brought to you by Tyson Alger of I-5 Corridor and Lookout Eugene Springfield. Subscribe today, ladies and gentlemen.
Tyson, let's dive into this game. We've been talking a little bit about, you know, you've got a high-octane USC offense, ranks, you know, top five in the nation. You've got a high-octane Oregon's defense, top five in the nation. Is that the battle that you sit with in this? How does this top offense deal with the defense? Or do you live in my world that kind of flips that on its head and says, what does Oregon's offense do against USC's defense?
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at a little bit with it too, because I think Oregon's weakness is better than USC's weakness. I just mm-hmm. think Oregon's offense is, when you look at it, I mean, it's fun to throw out how good USC is with their attack and how explosive they are, but Oregon's still number 11 in the country in total offense right now. Like, they've been pretty good a lot of the year. It's just that we really focus in on the games that they're not, and also take into account that they played the last month under monsoon-like conditions. USC is going to move the ball against the Ducks. Oregon has one of the best passing defenses in the country, but they just haven't seen receivers like USC has. They have one of the best, absolute best guys in the country, and the number two and number three guys are pretty darn good as well. So I think USC is going to move the ball. I think it's about limiting the amount of those explosive plays you get. But I think the biggest positive for me going into this game is just seeing how balanced that the Ducks looked on offense last week against Minnesota. And I know Minnesota is not this big, bad juggernaut of a Big Ten team, but they're not a terrible defensive team. And just Dante Moore's efficiency in that game, kind of bouncing back from, you know, a bad 2 or 3 weeks, but to see him in decent conditions when he got good protection, when it's dry out, to have him be that effective with that depleted receiving core balanced with that rushing attack, I just don't think USC is going to be able to stop Oregon's offense as much as Oregon's going to be able to stop USC's. It's just USC's better defensively than they've been for probably the past 5, 6, 7 years, but they still give up a ton of yards on the ground, and they still give up a lot of key yards on the ground. So I just think that's another area that Oregon's going to be able to gash them.
All right, Tyson, I ask you every week. This one I obviously have a little bit more vested interest. How does Oregon lose this game?
Oregon loses this game if they get behind quickly. If Dante Moore comes out, you know, it was so nice last week to see them come out on that first drive and be effective right away, but that's kind of been the outlier compared to what the last month or so has been. If Oregon gets behind and maybe there's a turnover and USC is able to strike quickly, they do have a good enough running game too that they can be balanced in the way that they hold a lead. So USC is dangerous. Like this is going to be a tough game. They are a top 25 team, and I think they're warranted to be. And there's a lot emotionally riding on this line too. You know, USC thought that they were going to be the front runners in this new Big Ten of the Pac-12 defectors. You know, they were the first ones to announce that they were going to leave. They had Lincoln Riley. They had, you know, what they thought was a recruiting advantage. And Oregon's kind of stolen all of that and all that momentum. And here you have this game where playoff is on the line for basically both teams. It's going to be a fun one, and there's a lot of stress with that. And Dante, while we've seen him play well in some big games, like the Penn State, that was a lot of pressure on him. I thought there was a lot of pressure on him against Iowa, too. Like this one's for all the marbles here a week before you go do that again up in Seattle.
I'll ask you this. He's Tyson Alger. He joins us, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. The department you are going to focus on most for Oregon, when you look at guys like Mekhi Lemon, who might be the best wide receiver in college football right now, are you focused on what the secondary is going to look like, or are we still living in offensive line world to get that run game going? What, tell me the department you are focused on most as a giant key to a Duck victory.
I think I want to see a breakout game for Mateo Uiagalelei. You know, he's been fine this year. I think it's been an adjustment for him this season with being the guy and then kind of being focused on differently, but you just haven't seen him have one of those game record type of games that we saw him have a couple of times last year, and that made him such a heralded kind of preseason selection. USC's got such a potent attack that if you're not pressuring the quarterback or creating havoc, they're going to put points on you. So I think that's important. The secondary stuff, we know how important that is. And I'm so excited to watch what Brandon Finney does in this game matched up against some of those dudes. But I do think a key thing for Oregon is the linebackers in this game. As I said earlier, like USC's got a pretty potent rushing attack there. That freshman running backs rushed for 125 yards plus in 3 of the last 5 games. Like they can move the ball on the ground. And if you can make them more one dimensional and only rely on that passing attack, I think that's a key for Oregon to get ahead in this game.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Tyson, this is your chance. We always give you what you're writing this week. How you feeling on stuff?
I'm writing a little look back that's going to publish on Friday that kind of dives into the Oregon-USC Mario Cristobal era rivalry, where the Ducks had their whole Cali Flock hashtag and they went to the Rose Bowl and Mario Cristobal called it a home game for them, and just kind of see how that's evolved over the years. Because as I don't know if you guys saw Dan's press conference this week, you know, they kind of talked about the importance of California and like, yeah, it's important, but everything's important. And, you know, I don't think the guys take it any more seriously than the others. That's kind of the exact opposite way that the Ducks handled it 5, 6 years ago. And I just kind of find that fascinating.
All right. You can check that out. The I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. He's Tyson Alger. Thanks, amigo. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the game.
Hey, thanks.
Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor.
We can actually see him on Saturday.
Look out, Eugene Springfield. Yeah, I should have told him how we were going down. Say hi to him. Say what's up.
The entire studio or the entire office is going down on Saturday. So.
Tell me if I'm reading the tea leaves incorrectly. He don't like USC in this game at all.
No, I actually disagree. I think he thinks Oregon is going to win, but I think I think most Duck fans are rightfully scared of that wide receiver room.
Yeah, then for some reason I was getting a little vibe from him that was kind of like, yeah, but USC kind of sucks.
I didn't pick that up.
No, okay. Maybe it's my homerism coming out.
Yeah, see,
out,
I told you. You're gonna start quacking. You're gonna get up there and shout in the freaking third quarter or going into the fourth quarter.
Well, I might dance to shout.
Yeah, I know.
That
you
sounds
will.
Fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that too.
You're gonna start wiggling and start throwing up the O, and you might as well just hand in your Cougar card.
Otis Day and the Knights, yeah. Man. They also sing Shamalama Ding Dong. Mm. I love that tune. No, there will be no O's coming from my hand.
You're 100% going to.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, you are.
I'm shocked that you think so.
You left your heart in Oregon.
I left my heart.
My younger daughter
in
Sammy,
Eugene,
we call
Springfield.
We call her Samalama Ding Dong a lot.
Samalama Ding Dong. Yeah. I love that.
It's a good one.
If a search this whole wide world. Mm. Yeah, I love it. I love it.
See, look, already.
Otis Day and the Knights. Mm. I wish I could go to Eugene and someone would do an Otis Day and the Knights cover band. Does anybody ever do that in Eugene? I'm sure that's been thought of.
I'm sure it's been done. No.
But has it been done well?
Probably not, but you know.
All right. We got a loaded hour number deuce coming up. Some college football to get to as well. Is it time for this coach to give it up and a quarterback that might already be on the move? But let's first tie into ESPN and some personalities caught up in a little bit of bad PR and some gambling. What do we make of that? We'll do that next in a loaded hour number deuce. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.